Orders for a second blockade were issued on December 24th. Again, it would be an ineffective effort. As other ships left the blockade to restock supplies at San Francisco, DuPont was left by himself. To provide the friendly inhabitants of La Paz and San Jose del Cabo with some semblance of protection, DuPont resorted to sailing the Cyan back and forth between San Jose and Mazatlan. This opened Mazatlan to commerce, breaking the blockade. Eventually, DuPont sailed to Hawaii for more supplies. These experiences showed DuPont firsthand the practical difficulties of a blockade. Such an undertaking is very resource-intensive in terms of both ships and supplies. To maintain the blockade, ships cannot abandon their positions to get supplies. Either the resupply points must be close enough to facilitate the blockade, or additional ships must come in to replace the departing ones. Again, DuPont would carry these lessons into the Civil War. Mexico had given DuPont a foretaste on a most limited scale of the duty which he was later to undertake on a grand scale off the South Atlantic coast of the Confederate States. Indeed, 2 days before DuPont arrived in Washington to assume his duties on the board, he recalled his previous blockading experience in a letter to a friend. "During the Mexican War, I had 2 hard years' work at it, with endless correspondence with naval and diplomatic functionaries, for I established the first blockade on the western coast." In spite of these personal credentials, DuPont ran the board without stifling creative thought. He and his colleagues issued 6 primary and 4 supplemental reports on the status of the Confederate coast and how best to influence it. Their findings formed the basis for future naval and amphibious operations. In the process, DuPont was able to apply what he had learned in Mexico. Blockades were long, drawn-out affairs that were difficult to manage, coordinate, and maintain. To avoid having to lift the blockade in order to conduct resupply operations as he had experienced in Mexico, DuPont knew he would need some strategically located land bases. At first, the Federals had only Hampton Roads, Virginia, and Key West, Florida, available to them. These widely separated bases made it almost impossible to maintain an effective blockade. Indeed, in the early days of the war, some ships spent nearly as much time going to and from these bases for supply and repair as they did on blockade duty. This situation would be exacerbated in foul weather when blockading ships would need ports of refuge along the stormy Atlantic. Clearly, the Navy would need additional bases for the blockading squadron to both shut down Confederate blockade running and to resupply the Federal ships. Shelby Foote writes, "Out of this double necessity, the blockade gained a new dimension, one in which the Army would have a share. Not only could harbor entrances be patrolled, the harbors themselves might be seized, thus reducing the number of points to be guarded, and at the same time freeing ships for duty elsewhere. Thus was born a strategy that would result in a series of Army-Navy operations directed against critical locations along the southern coast."